Welcome back to Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists. Ding, ding, ding. That's the school bell. It's time for on-set teachers.
If you're familiar with child labor laws, which I know you are, on-set children can only work for a certain amount of time. The rest of the time, they gotta be in school. And who better to teach them but teachers?
Today on the show, we gather some of Hollywood's most famous, important, and awesome on-set teachers.
So grab your pencil, make sure to bring an apple, and take a seat. Let's listen in.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, did you get something from set?
Oh, no.
My kids are always bringing something into set. My kids are always bringing something. When you work with kids, that's my wife runs a nursery.
Yeah. Uh-oh, factory reset. Turn them off, turn them back on again.
No, I'm good.
That's what you have to do with the kids. Turn them on, turn them back on again.
Do you need a cheese stick?
No, I'm good.
Do you need a cheese stick?
My wife runs a nursery and she's always bringing something home, is what I was just going to say.
So, amazing.
Yeah. No, it's so true. These kids, they are like vessels. Yeah. I always say these kids are vessels for both talent and germs. Yeah. And germs and the common cold.
Don't get me started on these kids with their germs. Yeah. Don't get me started. It is rough for me.
Yeah.
I don't like germs. I barely like kids, but I'm here and I'm excited to talk to some of the other professionals in the industry for sure.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's really awesome to be here. I guess we should all just go around, and because I know Let's some of it. You from just, you know, the lot.
Totally.
The lot. The of lot. Course. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The schoolyard. Yeah. Don't you wish they had a bell? Because I come from the school system. I don't know if you guys just got your stuff before or after, but I came from the school system first, and sometimes I'm waiting for the bell to ring on the set of The Conners.
Well, so they do have bells, especially on multicams. They have bells when they go off, and then
I know, but I mean bells for me.
Oh, okay.
Bells when I know I'm done teaching math and it's time for social.
And not to be on the side of the studio, but I do think it would be difficult if they had bells just for you, because.
They would, and that's why I think it's so funny. I wish they would.
Well, they should have one. They should have one at a frequency only teachers can hear, because as we know, like, there's some things only we pick up on. There's
sure.
something on
or an app. There's apps for everything.
Sure.
These
so that's well, I'm just so saying, true. Like, if the bell sounded exactly the same, it would just be difficult to know what the bell was for.
It would be like a who's on first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. It would be a who's on first. My name is Louise McIntyre. I am a on-set teacher on the Nickelodeon show Boys in the Yard, and I teach six rowdy 10-year-old boys, and it is a blast. These boys keep me on my toes, always looking for them, always trying to get in those little heads. And man, there's a stereotype out there that child actors aren't fast. These kids are fast.
It's such a stupid stereotype that people have. I don't,
Let's
know
break
how
down
it started.
The stereotype.
I don't know how it started.
You know when it started? It started in the 20s when in the MGM when they were feeding those kids painkillers all the time.
Oh yeah.
That's why the kids were
so slow.
They were putting them in their Cheerios.
And so everyone thought, "Oh, it's their innate inability to run fast."
Well,
but no.
It's just
the drugs.
You know, it's what we're trying to teach. We're trying to break stereotypes, and one of the major stereotypes we're trying to break is that set kids are not fast. Because
well,
they're wily and they're fast.
And I would also say they're all on Adderall now. So they're quite
even
fast.
They're more direct with their speed. You used to get a kid running around in circles. You could grab him because he doesn't know where he's going. On Adderall, it's almost like they're a missile.
Yeah.
They know exactly where they're going and they know the shortest route there.
To learn its fractions. Am I right?
So Louise, you are working with 10-year-olds, six 10-year-olds?
Yes, so yes, six 10-year-olds.
You're in the third, fourth grade curriculum?
Yes. Well, I got to be honest, a couple of them have had more successful careers. They're at about a second grade level. So it's hard to get them all on the same track always.
So true, which is not a stereotype, but it should be. The more successful you
are. Let's talk about stereotypes that
should be. I don't think we do that enough. Let's stop right here.
Instead of talking about what stereotypes we shouldn't say, we should start.
Guys, look, and I don't want to teach the class because you guys are teachers, but before we get to dream stereotypes, let's maybe introduce ourselves.
That's so true.
We need to talk about what are the stereotypes we should be aiming towards. Right?
But yeah, I agree. Let's go around.
Yeah, let's definitely go around. My name is Eugene Frank.
You talk like a Eugene Frank.
And you tremble like one, too.
I don't know what that means. I'm sure that's pretty rude for Eugenes everywhere.
Well, you know what I'll say, Eugene Frank? It feels like you're used to your last name being screamed. Like the kids come in and scream, Frank! So
they
I'm guessing
do.
You're on some sort of
I
sports
try
project.
To introduce myself as Mr. Eugene Frank, and every time it just turns into these little kids screaming, Frank!
Because most of them don't, you don't normally provide your first name willingly to kids right away.
No, but I'm trying to because I've got two first names as a name. So it's not always easy. And I've caught on to it too. When they're screaming Frank, I've started introducing myself as that because it's just easier sometimes.
Well, as teachers, we've probably all experienced this. Sometimes you fall into the profession and you realize, I have a name that's fun to scream.
Absolutely.
And it's tough. Yes. It's tough as a teacher.
Indeed.
That's the number one mistake. You got a lot of kids need stage names. Teachers need their own stage names too.
That is such a good point. I knew a friend named, his name was Dr. Tony Kneebuckle, and these kids would buckle his knees every single time. They go, oh, Kneebuckle.
What a nightmare for that guy.
Yeah, I can imagine screaming it. Kneebuckle!
What a nightmare.
What set are you on, my friend?
Frank!
Right.
Frank!
Okay, don't be like
Frank
the kids.
Frank the set! Frank!
Thank you. I am on...
Thank you.
You have been warped by these kids. You're thanking us for ridiculing you. What set are you on, my friend?
So I am on the set of the new HBO show Mystery Kids. It's a dark, gritty show filled with violence set in a fantasy world. And these kids are really, 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 you know, kind of messed up. So it's another thing I need to approach with my teaching is both teaching them math and also working through some of the trauma that they experience on set.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a psychologist as well.
I have to be a sort of therapist for these kids, and I'm not good at that.
Did you set any sort of class agreement or expectations for the beginning of school? Because it must be difficult. I mean, were you told you have to address these kids' trauma in class? Because most teachers say, that's what the counselors
no,
are. We
no,
don't have counselors on set.
No. Nobody told me, and I just realized it on day one when these kids walked in and they play their show as kind of they form sort of a revolutionary squad to take down some of the leaders of this really messed up world. And that's what happened in class. I said, we're going to be going over fractions, calculus. They're young. We're jumping to calculus.
You have a lot of faith in these kids.
I really do. And they turned on me quick. They unionized in a way I haven't seen. They've ganged up. They're mean.
You do seem so tortured, Eugene.
No, thank you.
Who hurt you, man? Listen.
Who hurt you and tell them to go get back and get their SAG card.
I will say, so I have one of my kids, Joni, I think is on yours during the day because I do night shoots.
Right.
And yours during the day. And she told me that you have a very unique way of teaching where you incorporate the trauma into the math problems.
Exactly. Yeah. I found it's the only way to break through these kids' big walls that they've put up is I incorporate their trauma.
Yeah. There's that one she showed me. It was Derek has 7 attachment styles.
Yeah. So in order to deal with trauma, we always want to talk about attachment styles.
Well, that's how you begin. But you say, like, if this person has 7 attachment styles and this other person has 4 healing techniques.
Yeah. How many attachment style? How many holes in his heart are left over that he's
can
not
I
filled
guess?
With? You can.
3.
Very good.
Good.
But that's enough about me. So, yeah, just to summarize, Eugene Frank, teach fucked up kids with therapy. Okay, go ahead.
Well, my name is Bertie Havrilakakis, and I...
Havrilakakis!
It's not as easy to scream.
Yeah, we get Havrilakakis to set?
Yeah, I'm Havrilakakis, and I teach night shoots, as I mentioned. My primary expertise is waking those kids up when they have to be on set all night, and we have to go to school at 3 in the morning, and I have to teach them. I am currently on set for The Swampening, which is a show about horrifying children that drowned in a swamp, terrorizing.
I love that show. Yeah. You're on what, season three now?
We're on season three, and we've just been greenlit for 15 more seasons.
Oh, good.
Yeah, is that the first time that's happened in the industry?
It's the first time. They said, we need 15 more years of the Swampinator.
They didn't even do that for Big Bang Theory.
Well, these kids are aging fast. Because, you know, as the have you noticed on TikTok, they're always mentioning on that Gen Z is aging faster. Gen Alpha, aging even faster.
And so, that goes, it's rapid. That goes with that stereotype that we're trying to get rid of, not instill.
I have a six-year-old with a comb-over, like a balding comb-over, and it's embarrassing to see him try to cover it.
He's balding.
He's losing it. I'm telling him, man. I'm sorry, buddy. You're losing it, you know? It's a bummer.
15 seasons in a row is such a good idea, because at that age, you need to lock him down
lock him in.
Well, we're shooting this year for 20 years from now, you know what I mean? We're just constantly, and it's good because we can just power through with these swamp kids.
This is what happened to Chester on, you guys know Chester, he does Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's been there for years.
Well, he's had to switch. I know the on-set teacher for Stranger Things has, because the kids have graduated past when they would still be in school, but they still have to go to on-set school, and I know he's teaching them woodworking now.
Yeah, poor Chester has gone from toddler work all the way to college level classes.
Yeah, now trade he's doing school. Woodworking. Yeah. I heard he's doing trade
literal
school.
Literal trade school. Yeah, exactly. He's teaching one of them makeup.
Yeah, one of them. And we won't tell you
one
which
kid.
One. We're not allowed to tell you
no,
which one.
No, that's a HIPAA thing. We can't tell you which kid is learning makeup.
Well,
because we have
which
HIPAA
kid.
Laws.
And also, for me, it's always strange that the makeup artist didn't just teach him makeup.
He's a teacher.
Well, and I will say, speaking of makeup, you know, the Swampinator, the biggest challenge for me when I'm teaching is these kids are horrifying looking. They are so scary.
Oh, they're spooky to teach.
3 a.m. in full makeup.
They're covered in just covered in moss, and they look so scary. And sometimes I imagine hearing about what I'm doing 10 years ago and, like, just getting a screenshot of exactly what's happening in my life, and I see myself, you know, with the specifics of the Declaration of Independence on the board, and then just a pan of like 12 of the spookiest kids in the world
at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to get my paralysis demons to learn something. It's really fucking weird. If I'm
well, isn't there that picture of you teaching that kid who's covered in fake eczema?
Yeah,
but it looks like, and you have a ruler.
One of the spookiest things a kid can be covered in is fake eczema.
Well, no, it's like the swampening eczema, so it's very heightened.
It's literal eggs. It's frog eggs.
Eczema. Yeah.
It's frog eggs popping out of someone's collar.
Yeah, bone. And you're like holding the ruler, and it looks like you're touching his skin a little bit, but it's just the picture.
Yeah, they tried to get me on that one.
Yeah, they tried to get your ass.
There's an anonymous person on set that's trying to get me. And I don't know who it is, and they're very good at covering their tracks. They won't get me.
A gossip girl, if you will.
I think, does your set have a gossip girl?
Oh, my set has a gossip girl.
Absolutely.
And it's really interesting. I think it's one of the boys, which is interesting,
really?
But I can't tell. I have definitely
probably
idea.
One of the boys.
We've got a gossip grip. It's a mess.
You have a gossip grip?
Ooh,
XOXO gossip grip.
Because they're everywhere and nowhere. You never know where a grip is and isn't. They could be up in a rafter.
Yeah.
You could be talking. They're here.
You
so
know
we don't
you
know which
me.
Grip is
Excellent.
The gossip grip, but it has ruined the set life. It is absolutely destroyed.
Because a big part of set is swapping secrets, but it's tough. Yeah. It's tough. The grips are everywhere.
That's awful. Yeah. Hi, guys. My name is Sarah Beth Tiener. Sarah Beth Tiener, and I am the ripe age of 21, just turned 21.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. I'm one of those kids that just like ripped through college in my high school years, and I just wanted to teach, but I also like kind of love the industry. Hmm. I love the lights. I love actors. I think they're amazing, so I immediately wanted to go into teaching, but I wanted something a little more exciting. So I am a on-set teacher for TLC, an exclusive agreement. Mm. So I did.
What show on TLC do you?
I do. I jump between a bunch of them. Most recently, I did the 18th season of John K plus 8. Did all
Whoa.
The kiddos.
Those
yeah.
kids are
oh, yeah.
30 now.
Did
all
the
kiddos.
They brought them back. They brought them back.
Well, now they're having grandchildren. So if you pay attention, yeah. And sometimes I'll even do like Home Improvement. Not Home Improvement.
Extreme Home Makeover.
Extreme Home Makeover. Wow. I do kids that I'm meeting just that day, usually. Sometimes someone will bring on their kids, and by law, people don't know this, but by law, they have to come into school. Even now, some teachers, they'll be a kid's teacher for the full season, right? And that more emulates what a school looks like.
Yeah.
But there are one-off episodes, and no matter what, if a kid is on set, he has to go to school that day.
And that's a bummer because, yeah, especially on Extreme Home Makeover, you know, usually it's this family with these five kids and they're getting this completely new house. Usually while the house is being renovated, they send them to Disneyland. And I know that you go with them,
yeah,
on their vacation.
So it's absolutely disgusting. That's the one show at TLC we go, oh no.
Yeah.
Because you have to go to Disneyland and you have to get them to do so many vocabulary sheets. You just have to get those sheets done. Yeah. And you turn in the homework. People don't tell you this. You turn in the homework directly to the law. So you have to show.
Yes, we as on-set teachers turn in the homework to the police.
Yes, because they want to make sure these kids are
learning. I hate the police
learning.
Roundups at the end of every week.
I hate that.
And they don't tell you that the police are spending so much unnecessary time collecting
worksheets. So many funds that they send the detective in sometimes to see if there's any cheating.
It's because it's an American thing.
I've been writing the mayor. I mean, it's just a complete misuse of funds.
It is a gross misappropriation, and I would argue that's not their jurisdiction.
No.
I would argue that that's not it.
I'd argue it, yeah, too.
They shouldn't be doing that. But we do, by law, have to show that every kid, no matter what, even if on set is taking them to an excursion, which is maybe a trip or a Make-A-Wish Foundation trip to Disneyland, they still have to be in school. So that at TLC, we are run and go, as we say it. I have a whiteboard T-shirt.
Oh,
that I wear. Wow.
So I don't.
You draw on the T-shirt?
Yes. And it's just, it's less work than bringing around a desk, right?
Totally.
Because I'm on the go. Mm-hmm.
So just correct me if I'm wrong, but you're Teener, Sarah Teener.
Sarah Beth Teener.
Miss Teener. So just correct me if I'm wrong. On your shirt in front of little kids, you're drawing just right kind of on your chest area.
Or they can draw.
Okay, oh so gosh. They come up and they
yeah,
draw
it would be
on
hard.
Your...
It would be hard for me to write on myself.
And not to get too crass, but how thick is the T-shirt?
That's crass. That's crass.
I'm sorry for getting crass. I'm around all these boys all the time. I think like a boy.
I think like a boy. That's crazy.
What kind of things do you think?
You're thinking an adult woman.
I know. I'm an adult woman, and I'm thinking about monster trucks like a little boy.
What kind of other boy things do you think of? What do you think about? Like, what's your favorite kind of food?
Oh, my God. Nacho cheese. Oh, nacho boy. Cheese Takis.
What's your favorite makeup brand?
Etsy? No.
That's not very boy.
That's what a little boy would say, though, is a makeup
exactly.
brand.
Exactly. They wouldn't know what it is.
Yeah. That isn't the makeup brand of a little boy, but that is the makeup brand of a woman at odds with her own brain. You know what I mean? You're clearly confused
sort of
and you found some middle ground.
It's all
so there are still points where I could lock into a woman who's totally lost, but half the time
failure,
I have the monologue of a little boy. Yeah. I'm thinking, plaid T-shirts.
Oh, poor thing.
Well, what are we talking about?
I have a question actually for all the on-set teachers right here. I get frustrated because a lot of people think that what we do isn't teaching. A lot of people think that we're just babysitting. But I know for a fact that I've gone through some teaching breakthroughs in my classroom. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And I wanted to see if you guys have any teacher breakthroughs you remember.
Well,
you know, in
the one
studios.
That you went through?
Yeah.
Well, the one that I went through is that I... really got to the heart of getting people to understand that Thomas Jefferson was just kind of a normal guy, you know?
That's the main lesson?
That he was chill?
He had flaws. He was, you know,
yeah,
we idolized.
Yeah, he had some pretty big flaws, I would say.
So I guess, where the students coming to are kind of bringing up all the immense flaws that Thomas Jefferson
no,
does have.
No, they weren't bringing up the flaws. They were idolizing. For some reason, my kids thought the Founding Fathers were gods. And I think they have conservative parents or something was going on. So
it might
just be
because they're shooting at night. It all feels like a dream. And you were saying that you were doing the Constitution in front of them.
Mount Rushmore at night must be like crazy to study.
Gosh, women's history at night.
The amount of things that feel like a dream for those kids. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll say, wait, you're real? And I'll say, yes. They're like, and like they get so surprised. And one time I saw one of them at the grocery store during a hiatus.
So awkward.
I saw, yeah, but they ran. They ran out because they thought they were scared of me. And I'm like, you're scared of me? You're a fucking ghoul. You're a ghoul in my classroom. You have barnacles on your eyes. Like, I don't
but
know.
But you're because you're not sleep paralysis.
Yes, I'm their sleep paralysis demon.
It's sort of mutual.
You're scared of me. I'm scared of you because I'm not used to you with a normal nose. I'm used to you with a swamp nose.
Exactly. That swamp noses are nasty. They're fish.
That sounds really hard, especially for a little kid having a paralysis, sleep paralysis demon that looks and sounds like you. I mean,
what do you mean? Crazy.
I think if that was my sleep paralysis demon, I would be so deeply affected because you're such a normal person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But it's
so funny. It kind of makes you wonder, like, what's wrong with me?
And it's probably makes them think there's a lot more sleep paralysis demons out there.
100%. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm a septuplet too. So there's
identical.
Identical septuplets. And so it is scary for them because that is scary. I was shopping with my three brothers for a Super Bowl party. And so when this kid saw me, he's only seen me during the night. He saw four of me at once. That was weird for him.
That's probably a life altering event.
Yeah. For me, you were leaving out crucial details of that story.
Didn't tell us that you were one of the Time Magazine's Fantastic Seven.
Yeah.
When they all those seven boys identical.
Which, well, look, they were having that was a light news week. and not to humble myself, but the fact that they wrote about the Fantastic Seven as
and,
seven.
And the name that they labeled you with.
Your mom was such an attention hog. She loved the camera.
I think they wrote...
She had such a personality for it that I could see. If I were a reporter, I'd be like, I want to milk that. Mom is dancing after having seven identical boys. Exactly. Yeah, I want to cover that.
And they wrote it in the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve when nothing's happening.
Yeah, and three is before Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
And then after
Quiet
Sandy.
Quiet on the Western Front. But you know what you said is so interesting because people don't realize that the kids we're working with are just so different. They're not, of course they're kids and we have to remember that they're kids, right? But like you're saying, you work with them overnight during night shoots. We're used to kids drinking big coffees. We're used to kids taking smoke breaks. I'm like, it's a different version of a kid, right? Because these kids have... They've been jaded by the industry.
I mean, they're barely kids. They're talking to you like they're trying to make small talk at a cocktail party most of the time. It's kind of awkward.
No, I'm trying to teach them vocabulary words, and they keep asking me if I want to get lunch. And it's like, I don't think you should know that phrase for
my
a while.
My least favorite thing is when a seven-year-old asks me, do you want to get lunch? Let's go grab a lunch. No. I'd love to
and
catch up and pick your brain.
And then they look down at their phone, and they can't schedule it because their schedule's full, and then you feel like a loser because you're not as busy.
And I'm like, you should be given lunch. Kids should be given lunch. They shouldn't be getting lunch. You know what I mean? That's what's kind of messed up with our industry.
You know what's even worse is doing lunch.
Oh.
When they say we should do lunch.
That breaks my heart. That means they've been in it for a long time. Or when a kid asks me, like, what projects am I working on lately?
Oof.
Right in the middle of, like, I don't know, we're breaking down geography. And I'm like, honey, we could just work on what the size of Louisiana is.
Yeah, I got a literal group project for you right now. That you should be turning in. Yeah.
Let's work on what the size of Louisiana is.
Let's work on the size of it.
Are you having them kind of measure a map? Is it, teaching them how to read a map?
What is this 21-year-old doing in geography measuring Louisiana? I'm
interested.
Well,
she's doing it on my chest, remember?
Oh,
and
right,
we're in
right.
line for Splash Mountain. And I go, okay, quick, size of Louisiana. And I stick my chest out.
So do you have them memorize capitals or is it more of a cartography thing where they have to draw the lines?
I find that as I finished the school system only a few years ago. And I found,
I mean,
what was
21,
the point?
You probably just maybe haven't even graduated college yet.
I did it early, but I'm saying like I finished it all really fast. And the most unnecessary knowledge I found was capitals. Why do we need to know them?
Sure.
What I wish I knew, the size of states. I thought Rhode Island was huge.
How big is it?
It's small.
How many?
10. I don't know.
That's really small.
But I'm saying like, so I'm a little off the cuff. Sometimes I make my own syllabus. We should talk about syllabuses here. Yeah. But sometimes I add my own things. I do my own things to the curriculum because sometimes I'm like, you don't need to know that Sacramento is the capital of California. You need to know that California is big.
So you're more talking about just general sizes. That the actual
big, medium, so small.
They don't actually have to know tall. The numbers. They have to know your system of the adjective you would use to describe
the
size. So
big,
size.
Medium, small, and then and you gave away some interesting information I want to dive into. Small Rhode Island is 10.
Well, that's, so. I think I got confused. In my brain, it's 10, but it's small, right?
And oh, you have synesthesia. You think in numbers.
Yes, I do. That's why I graduated so fast. But anyway,
that's another stereotype that I think we should implement.
Yes.
Is people with synesthesia graduate fast.
Yeah.
I think it should be a bigger stereotype.
It should really be. People with synesthesia need something coming
list,
to them.
Huh?
They need something.
Put it on the list of things we got to do. But anyway, let's talk about syllabus.
I would love the idea of talking about a syllabus.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a tough time putting a syllabus together because I've found that I can only corral the boys for about 6.5 minutes at a time. So I got to use those minutes and really cram them in. And the rest of the time, I'm wheeling out a TV to watch a Nicolas Cage movie because that's what they're really into.
That's really smart.
They're really into that. And we do, you know, I try to make it fun. We do Nerf gun fights. I mean, honestly, half of my syllabus is talking about the different methods I'm going to use to wrangle the boys, right? So just FYI, right off the bat, I'm going to use a lasso. I'm going to be using half my arm to scoop. I'm going to be using big magnets to sort of reel you guys
Brilliant.
In. Like, that's just something I'm going to have to be doing. So that I spend a lot of time in the first time I work with
them. Did
you
talk to the costume designer about adding a magnet into their costume so you could suck them back in? Like,
yeah, they
magnet.
don't like me over there, but okay. But they understand the predicament. We sort of had to work around that because they were running into every department just wreaking havoc.
I mean, that makes sense. Let me tell you, I watched an episode of Nickelodeon the other day and those kids are in puffers. They're dressing those kids like the layering going on with those kids.
Because it slows jackets. Them down because they get all hot in the
right.
studio and so they don't move quite
them out.
As fast.
That's a classic move. Sweat out a kid.
I had one of your boys guest star recently.
Oh, was it Gavin?
Yeah, he played a toad creep.
Right.
Gavin
yes.
is booking like a library. Let
Gavin's
me just say
great.
Gavin is booking like a library and he's starting to learn some swears he shouldn't wear.
Yeah.
Is that becoming a problem for you?
Yeah. He was saying some really gross words.
Really? But he doesn't really have a handle on how to use them yet. Like
he'll
say like you mother ass.
Yeah.
You mother ass.
Yeah.
And I think he means motherfucker.
He called another girl a tit lip the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean by tit
lip? Well, I'm giggling over here.
You know, they're
I mean, that's hard sometimes. You can't laugh at the kids, right?
You can't laugh. But
they
gotta
be careful. Sometimes they draw Louisiana so big it hits my tip lip.
Oh, you're okay.
Oh, is that what you refer to as a nipple?
So
I'm sorry, excuse me. That was very crass.
I'm sorry. Tit lip is not, I don't think a nipple is the lip of a tit.
Well, then what else would it be?
I guess in a way it is.
I guess the areola would be the lip of the tip.
And so the nipple is the teeth.
Let's go around.
Okay, wait. I wanted to bring up, though. Gavin
yes,
brought
of course,
something
Gavin,
up.
Yeah.
So I was trying to show him a Nicolas Cage movie because they had just completed their assignment. I was really proud of him. I said, let's watch National Treasure. And I was showing them. And he said, hold on a minute. This isn't the right version. And he said, usually Nicolas Cage talks about long division. And I realized, are you pumping in? Are you overdubbing?
Are you AIing?
I wish I was AIing. No, I haven't figured out quite how to do that. So I am doing a live dub of Nicolas Cage movies. I'm behind a sheet with a microphone.
Oh, you're Wizard of Ozzy.
I'm Wizard of Ozzy. The National Treasure. So they'll say, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence, which was signed in 1976. And I sort of paused the screen.
1976? That's not good information at all.
Louise, this is so much work for you.
I know. I am in way over my head.
You're grabbing them by magnets, putting them in front of a TV.
You're using a remote and a microphone.
Can we get them wrong information?
I got a huge tool belt around my chest just carrying all these objects to sort of get these boys in. And I'm shocked. These boys do not have good media literacy because Nick Cage will be frozen on the screen for 5 minutes while I talk about history. And they don't seem to know a thing. They're twiddling on their phones. Yeah. Phones. We got
to
talk about the phones.
The phones.
There are so many apps these days. I know I said it before.
I meant in relation to the kids. You just think phones are crazy in general.
Oh, those phones. I'm a 21-year-old woman and I'm like, my phones.
Frank, what do you do? I mean, I feel like you're the oldest person here by far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How's it been?
Well, how old are you guys?
I'm 28.
I'm 32.
21.
I'm older.
And that's okay.
So, what was the question?
Frank, what's your phone policy?
So, I have a very interesting phone policy. I actually try to put all the phones at the beginning of the classroom into a bucket. And I put my phone in the bucket, too, in a sense of solidarity.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
I immediately see what's happening here.
So it's a bad idea. Yeah. It's an immediate bad idea.
You don't need to put your phone in the bucket.
You don't need to. You're the adult in this situation.
It's a bad idea.
So what happens? I know. But
well, there's
happens?
A bunch of different scenarios that end up happening. One, they steal my phone from me in the bucket. Two, because I don't have a way to contact anybody, they lock the classroom down and it turns into sort of a Lord of the Flies situation.
Yeah.
Three, there's another situation where they start pelting the phones at me. Four, that it actually
Wait,
works.
So do they have control of the bucket? Where does the bucket go?
I put the bucket in the middle of the room.
You shouldn't do that.
That's a bad idea.
As a sense of unionization. We are all equal and one, and all of our phones are in the middle in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's a good idea at first on paper, but it doesn't work in practice. But the fourth time, every once in a while, talking about your breakthroughs, the kids will leave the phones and we'll sit around and we'll actually open up our textbooks and open up our hearts.
It reminds me sometimes when I am dealing with kids who don't have their phones, it reminds me of those videos I've seen of people with Alzheimer's hearing a song from their 20s, and then they come alive again. It's like the magic of memory. And you realize there are kids behind these kids. You realize
it's
that there's
beautiful
like something.
When they don't have their phones and we figure out how to get in that zone.
Yeah.
You see them drop their acting personas, their let's do lunch, their I've got to get into makeup. They're my manager. I'm thinking about dropping my manager. And they just start talking about Roblox. It's amazing.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Yeah. Wow, you really just got to break through. Mm-hmm.
Can I confess something to you guys that I do with the phones?
Yeah.
Instead of teaching language, I've downloaded Duolingo.
Onto their phones?
Yeah. And then I just take a smoke break.
So you just hope that they're doing Duolingo?
Yeah.
And that's what I heard. So that's different than Duolingo, right? Because that's Dua Lipa's new language app. Duolingo?
Duolingo.
I love this app. I heard Dua Lipa's doing it.
It's a huge launch.
I've been learning hot English on it. It's sort of like a type of English that's used by like sexy bisexual women.
Yeah.
And it's revolutionized my life.
Oh, wait. My mom was a sexy bisexual woman. I grew up learning hot English. I'm fluent. Do you guys want to speak it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
You should do it.
Yeah.
Harry Styles.
You're so funny.
Matcha.
What's your name?
Zebulon. What's your name?
Darling. You don't even know, darling.
Oh, my God. I'm so tired. Are you always tired?
Darling, what is that in your hair, darling?
Oh, my God, Moose. What's in your hair? It's sticking up.
Glitter, darling.
No way.
Glitter.
Glitter?
I have no idea what they're saying.
But that
we
was
were
hot.
Actually just, we were just
we were talking about math, yeah.
We were talking about math.
We were talking about math.
We were just talking about general ideas on math.
Yeah.
Concepts of
math. I love math.
We were talking about the Fibonacci sequence.
I gotta say, you guys are so...
Yes, I love the Fibonacci sequence. Those numbers and the way they line up.
It's so interesting.
Fibonacci sequence is the best thing to ever happen to mathematics in the world. It's got me so excited, and nothing will ever get me so excited as Fibonacci sequence. It's the perfect golden symmetrical rule.
We don't talk enough about the Fibonacci sequence.
Let's talk about it.
That's
a
stereotype I would like to add.
Is that
teachers
the Fibonacci
love the Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah.
Oh.
So can I ask a question? Because I'm running into this in my own life a couple times. Okay, I'll try. I thought this room was receptive, but that felt...
Give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
What do you guys do when one of your kids is canceled?
Oh, God.
Because it's probably happened to all of us.
Yeah. Well, oh, my God.
Yes. When one of my kids gets canceled, actually, I have a protocol from high ups, which is don't let them cry because they've been in makeup for 12 hours. So it's really, so I have to talk them out of it from being sad. I think that's the hardest thing because we can't lose the seaweed that's on their face.
It's tough to watch all the other kids start turning on that one kid too.
That's brutal too because it becomes this hierarchy thing, right? Yeah. Where they're like, "Well, we're better than you because we haven't been canceled." But
they know too much. It's like you say something stupid on Roblox, it never goes away, right? Yeah. It never goes away.
That kid, on your
Tyler.
He said Hillary Clinton 2024, right? On Roblox and it just ruined his career.
He did, but he said it in a mocking way that sounded just so rude, and nobody knew. It really offended both sides. And so he was canceled by both Hillary lovers and Hillary haters, because neither one could decide in which way he was saying.
Right. An awful place to be.
They said, we don't know what to do with this, and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
I said, this is just yuck.
And that's Nickelodeon the doesn't fuck with that. Nickelodeon does not mess with the Clintons.
No, and that's part of the thing that I try and teach in my initial class is, don't get political on Roblox. Don't get political. Nothing ever ends well. Mm. If you want to get political, I have a film I can pop in, and 27 Dresses is going to teach you all about that.
Whoa, those
27
boys,
Dresses.
Those boys going from National Treasure to Katherine Heigl's 27 Dresses.
Whatever. Believe it or not. Well, here's the thing. I don't give them the full cut of 27 Good Dresses. It's only the James Marsden scenes.
I love that. When they sing Benny and the Jets.
They actually really respond to him.
I can see how that's a counting thing. You're trying to count how many up to good 27. That's
can
good.
I ask you, so when you put the sheet, is the sheet hung up in another side of the classroom or do you cover yourself in it?
But aren't you in a trailer? Explain this.
So I'm doing both, right? Okay. I have the sheet up and then for extra measure, I'm doing Charlie Brown sheet ghost just for safety.
Okay.
And
so you're wearing a sheet behind a sheet?
I'm doing two sheets so they'll never find out.
With a remote in one hand and a mic in the other.
And a remote in the one hand and a mic in the other. And sometimes it's hard to see in the double sheets. And so I do trip. And sometimes they'll hear a lot of boom, 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 boom. And that's because I do it right before the stairs so they don't know. And so I do hear them sometimes going, is this a real movie? And that's the only time it breaks the illusion.
Well, when Gavin was in my class, he thought it was real. So,
that's good. Oh, that's heartbreaking when the kids find out about Santa. Heartbreaking when the kids find out about the sheep.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Must just absolutely destroy their world.
It really does. And then it's so hard on the show. You can tell their hearts aren't in it as much.
It's also heartbreaking to see when you see them. I know this before I did TLC stuff a lot more real actors instead of, reality. But you see when they have to learn that their agents and their managers aren't their best friends.
Oh, that's so hard.
Because they think it's like fun mommy and fun daddy, right? It's the managers and the agents that are going to give them candy, right? And meet them on set and walk them to the Nickelodeon after party. And I think a lot of them think that their reps are like their fun mom.
Yeah.
And right. They're not.
No.
And it's so sad to see them see that slowly.
Have you guys ever lost a kid? Meaning they left the industry?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Plenty. Yeah.
There used to be a seventh boy, yeah. It was pretty devastating. He said he wanted to learn at school, so he lost him to the public school system. Oh,
and with your system, he's not gonna.
So. No. Yeah, he had to go somewhere else, and it was tragic. But it's interesting you brought up agents, because I think another thing that we might struggle with as on-set teachers is relating to the stage parents and the kids' reps. And I'm wondering how that experience is for you guys, because it's tough because the parents also feel that they can teach and they also want to watch you. And I do have some parents sitting in on the lessons, and they're harder to fool for sure. Yeah. They're harder to fool. So has that ever been a problem for you guys?
Well, I have this one parent who just sits in the lessons and yells no the whole time.
Poor thing, Eugene.
He disagrees.
Frank, he disagrees with everything Mr. I try Frank. To teach.
Poor thing.
Yeah, what does he take umbrage with?
He just takes umbrage with either my
what
voice.
What are you guys taking umbrage with these days? I want to ask that later, but go ahead.
Ask it in a little bit.
Yeah. He takes umbrage with basically how I'm teaching. I'll say, okay, we're going to do multiplication. He goes, no. I go, okay. Well, we're going to push through. Let's do 12 times 12. And the kids go, 144. He goes, nah. It's just tough. It's not fun.
I mean, that's what's hard about the set. And in general, it's not the kids. It's always the parents, right? Yeah. Because when you're 7 years old, you can stick a kid in a car and say, this guy's going to teach you something. And then the kid will believe you.
Let's try not to do that. I think try not to stick a kid in a car and say, this kid will teach you something.
And the guy in my example, by the way, it was Albert Einstein. So it would have been fine.
Wait.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to do the math on this.
So is Albert Einstein sticking the kid
in the car?
Or is he
somebody sticks their kid in a car and they say, this guy's going to teach you something. The guy in the car, it's Albert Einstein.
And this is all an example.
I'm just saying no funny business in that example. I'm just saying there was no funny business.
And is this based on a historical event or is this just some court?
It's based on a letter.
A letter?
That's fair. Thank you. I thought that was a funny business example.
This is just,
no,
you guys can come to that class
example.
If you want to learn. I teach the kids on the last day because it's just showing how impressionable kids are. You know what I mean? So if a parent stops and changes that opinion, that's where things get a little screwy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've had children of divorce. Well, parents of divorce. I've had like some moms be like, will you tell my kid that dad's bad.
Wow.
Wow. That's really
Do you put
tough.
That in the lesson plan?
Well, I mean, my lesson plan's on the go.
Do you write it on your whiteboard?
Yeah.
I heard with you also the dads are constantly trying to draw on your whiteboard as well.
And I haven't figured that out yet because I really welcome everyone because sometimes they'll send the kids to school, right? And like you're talking about on Extreme Makeover. And they send the kids are in school with the dad there, right? With the mom there. And yeah, I had a whiteboard on my ass too. And and I had to get rid of that because it was just not fun. But on my chest, yeah, it's happening a lot. But I'm figuring it out. And also the people at Disneyland have been so nice.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're nice. I'm glad they're nice. They're good people over there. Yeah. They're good people.
I heard you're like, when you go to Disneyland, you're like when those old men come up to the little girls and they're like, oh, I'm so, when the girls dress as princesses and they're like, can you sign my autograph book? There's like those Disney cast members. Have you guys heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
I heard they come to you and they say, can I sign your autograph?
Yes. And I go, no.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And I go, that's Rhode Island.
Bat them away like flies.
Yeah, but it's crazy. I mean, do you guys deal with your kids sometimes being super famous and then people around you know that you're working
with
them?
Just to go back, a beautiful full moment story. We were talking about stereotypes that should be true. Mm-hmm. One stereotype I would love to push is that the more famous you are, the lower in grades you are. So if you're 10 level fame, you might still just be stuck in second grade.
I would love to do that. You know,
I would love to push that.
Where I went to high school, if you didn't pass your classes, you couldn't do extracurriculars. And that's just not true on set. I do wish that
Well, because their extracurriculars is why they're there.
No, but it should be a system. Like, you should get a line from your scene deducted for every problem you get wrong. Some legislation I'm trying to push through.
I tried to hold back this girl who was playing a Firefly ghoul, and she got me fired for a day.
No, she didn't.
Just for
one
day.
I said, this girl doesn't know how to read. She doesn't know how to write. She actively chooses not to learn in my class, and we really shouldn't have her on set if she's not going to learn. And they said, well, you're out of here. And that was it.
That's really
That's devastating. How'd you come back?
They couldn't find anyone
else. Did you beg and plead?
No, I didn't beg. They couldn't find anyone else to work nights. The night teachers are just a very different type of person.
Oh yeah.
No, they're a freaky bunch. You're the one of the more well-adjusted ones I've met. A lot of them, you ask them a question and they go, no.
Right.
No.
They always have big lanterns. I don't use a lantern. I use the light on my phone.
Oh, that's honestly really cool.
Oh, they don't provide light for
they
you?
They don't light the set.
Because people don't know. On night shoots, when they're like, oh, you have to go with the teacher, usually you have to have a big lantern. You say, come with me, kids. And they follow you to the portable.
Why don't you just put it on your chest?
Oh, I don't want to wear light on my chest. And I just don't use my chest for stuff like that.
Weird.
I guess in summation, maybe what we should go around and do is give kids advice.
Great. If you want to be in the industry, here's the advice from the on-set teachers.
Here's what we do.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Good acting advice and industry advice, you mean?
Anything at all. It's your call.
How to make it in this industry.
Let's see. How to make it. You know,
four set teachers industry, telling you how to
industry,
make it.
Industry. Industry.
So,
let me see.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I guess I never really thought about what happens before they get to set.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I don't have any advice on how to make it in the industry.
Yeah, I guess I can't help you.
I guess
yeah,
I certainly have
it. I guess I have nothing to say to you.
I'm just here to teach you.
Well, okay. I would say on set, slow down. Life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You don't need to be running around doing donuts on your little children's mini car. Yeah. There's so much more life left to live, and you're knocking over grips, and they're getting pissed off. So
that's
just
so
try
true.
And stay away
those
from
grips
that.
Those grips are too busy being
that.
Gossip grips sometimes.
Here's one. On set, eat your gummies before you shoot, not before you come into my classroom.
Really good.
Yeah.
I got one. Bringing your report card to the audition is going to do nothing. We have no power. We can't do anything for you.
You'll have to bring it to the cops.
You're going to have to bring it to the law.
The amount of people that call me and say, hey, my kid has the best grades. He should have a role on this. I say, I'm actually not here for that. I am not a way in.
Yeah, you're like, does your kid look good in prosthetics? Then call me.
I'm a way out of labor laws for the set. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not here. I'm honestly there for the studio. I'm not there for the kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My advice would be just watch out. You can be nice to your teachers, I think. You can be nice to your teachers. It's not a problem. We're not here to fight you. We're not against you. We're your allies on set. So the teaching time is not the rebelling time to get over whatever you're feeling from set.
I would say it's difficult for you because, unfortunately, you do just sort of have a vibe that if I were a child, I would want to attack.
Yeah.
You feel like someone I just want to tip over.
Absolutely. I've gotten this my whole life. And thank you. It's a vibe that if you push me, I will fall. If you touch me, I will crumble. If you pinch me, I will say, ow, come on. So I'm easily bullied. It's been a problem my whole life, and kids love it. I'm like reverse Barney in a way.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah. Kids don't want to hug me. They want to kick me.
Can we kick you just once?
No, come on.
Can we just kick you once?
Eugene, you got yourself in a situation
again.
Let me kick you with my right foot.
Eugene,
it's a projector.
Come on, please.
Come on, darling. Let me hit you, darling.
Eugene, Frank.
Come on, baby.
Oh, no,
let me
hot bisexual.
Baby, let me kick you.
It's so
let me
boring.
My left foot is
so
one big expo marker.
Ka-thump.
Your left foot is one big expo marker?
For kids to use on my breast.
Okay, now I gotta see this.
This has been Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists answering the question. Now that's why they call it showbiz. We'll see you next time. Artists on Artists on Artists on Artists is an improvised Hollywood roundtable podcast created, performed, and produced by Kylie Brakeman, Jeremy Colhane, Angela Giratana, and Patrick McDonald. Music is by Gabriel Ponton. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the opinions of anyone who works on it, not even the performers, because this is an improvised podcast and we're stupid. Full video versions of AOAOAOA are available on YouTube, so please like and subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. That's all for now. Good night, Hollywood!